We have footage of the radar screens being just canceled out by the presence of these things, of aircraft coming into São Paulo, Brazil, losing their electrical power when they got near. This is all documented. This is real. And if the guys at Caltech don't understand it, that doesn't bother me at all. There's a lot that they don't understand over at Caltech. And it's about time that they start realizing that it's going on. And I will be more than happy.
They realize it, Bill.
Well, they realize it. They know what's going on. We will be making some television things available for you. We don't know in just what form of the footage that it's being taken down there. We certainly will be doing a show with Paul and his group whenever they get back from what they have seen themselves and the eyewitnesses that they have and the footage that they have, because this is documented in real stuff now. And there are serious media crews at work following up these things, which are happening in South America at the present time. But that's not the only place it's going on in the world, but we have limited
resources.
There's
going to be more of it.
Yeah.
As we said in the airs, yeah.
And so we would do it. You know, Uncle Sam won't do it. He's got more important things to do.
Your uncle.
Yeah, my uncle and your uncle. And we're getting behind time here. We have another uncle.
But we always do that, don't we?
We have an uncle here that wants to say hello to all of you and help pay for this process. I'm Bill Jenkins. It's Open Mind. We have so much to ramble about here between now and midnight. With me is Dr. Vivian Gladden, Joan Derry, and Sister Denise. We're talking about the Million Minutes of Peace at an international appeal, but we wanted to get into that with, well, there's a very profound reason for doing that. It goes back into antiquity. And it certainly goes back to Dr. Gladden's brilliant work of Heirs to the Gods. And I'm not going to let you get off of that. What else did Heirs to the Gods tell us? Heirs to the Gods told us, for instance, that Jehovah was not the creator of the universe. Jehovah was the leader, spiritual and physical, I suppose.
No, Jehovah was not the creator of the universe. They applied genetic engineering and reconstructed and recreated us from the hominids that were already here. If you notice in chapter 4 in Genesis, when the Lord God, which is not Jehovah,
right,
comes to Cain and says, "What is this you've done? You've killed your brother. Now I have to, you have to be, I'm going to put you out
of the garden."
Because it, before that, it's very clear that they were very close to the laboratory, to Eden.
Now we got to backtrack.
Yes, we did that perfectly.
We have to backtrack a little bit.
Eden, their spacecraft.
Let me paint the picture.
Oh, I know you love it. Oh,
in Heirs of the Gods, an expeditionary group came to Earth from I guess his headquarters was in a planet that's in orbit around Maseroth. That's in orbit around Arcturus.
Arcturus, yes.
And they came to Earth.
That's Job 38.
Job 38, right there. Mm-hmm. And they came to Earth to start a new society. But they didn't colonize this Earth by bringing their people down here and letting them start living, as we see in all of the science fiction pictures. They did it in a much more subtle way. They took the indigenous life forms of the planet, took their DNA, looked at it, and combined it with their own to develop a whole new species which had the great characteristics of both.
How many times did you read Heirs of the Gods?
Oh, about 45,000 times. And developed a whole new living human being which was tailor-made for the planet Earth. It had the physical attributes of the indigenous hominoids, or I guess the Neanderthals, or the other ones that were around here at times. And then replicated them in a replicator and started a new society. They had some problems. They set up a whole protected area.
Eden was the laboratory.
Eden was the laboratory. The protected area extended, what, from the western shores of, or the eastern shores of the Mediterranean, and the kind of dogleg down the Tigris-Euphrates Valley to the Persian Gulf, right?
Exactly.
That whole area was protected from weather and all of the other
force
things.
Force fields. Mm-hmm.
We would call those scalar interferometers.
Scalar, yeah.
We know exactly. We see them. As they are described in Genesis, the glowing, the firmament in the sky, that's exactly what happens over Sarasegion and the other places where these are used.
We need that now to protect us from all these earthquakes that are...
That's right. And then they had some political problems along the way. The head of the task force had another idea that was sort of against the standing order, as it were, which upset his boss, which was Jehovah. He was relieved of his command. Took a little fight.
How art thou fallen?
Yes, that was Lucifer. Lucifer made some mistakes. And I don't want to go into the whole story here, although it's fascinating as it is. Lucifer was forcefully relieved of his command, and then he was marooned on the planet with these smart animals that he had created. Men. Because they had to take their technology and leave because their timetable was off. Their launch window was up.
They had to go.
They had to leave.
They were colonizing like we're thinking, like we're going, we're going.
Yeah, Earth was just one of thousands of places.
Yes, yes. And they'll be back.
They'll and they will come back. Mm-hmm. You know, this mm-hmm. is one that didn't work as well as they had liked it. And they'll deal with Lucifer when they get back.
Well, I like to interject this in terms of Cain again, to go back mm-hmm. for a moment. So, he said, you'll have to leave. And he said, you're sending me away from the face of the Earth. And they'll kill me if you send me out there. Who's going to kill him? Who was out there? Supposed to be only these few people that was Adam and Eve and Cain and Abel. He said, if you send me out there, they're going to kill me.
Who were these other people?
The hominids that had already evolved. And he went out and he said he married his sister. Well, where did people say he married his sister? He didn't have a sister until after Seth.
Isn't it a possibility that there were other space beings that had the same capability of the people from Arcturus who had created...
These particular people were in this area were, from our research, the people that had already evolved.
Mm-hmm.
The hominids that had evolved. And they used these people for the genetic engineering
mm-hmm.
to create this Earth family that we call...
The human being.
Yes. Yes.
There was
we were intended, and of course, to live in my...
And according to your research, there was indeed a person known as Adam.
Yes.
That Adam was not a mythical...
Adam just means Earth. It just yeah. means man from the Earth.
But there
the
was the
red.
First... There was the first of the new species.
Yes, absolutely.
And so
yes.
we call him Adam.
Mm-hmm.
And there was the first female of the new species, and we can call her...
Mother of all.
Eve.
But Jehovah did not... The world came into being through this energy.
Mm-hmm.
Through the biocosmic energy. And it's a beautiful passage in Proverbs that said that, in Proverbs, that said that I was with you as one brought up with you daily, and you used me in creating the world. So I don't know how the fundamentalists get off on the tangent that they get off
on. Well, maybe there's some of them I'd like to talk to you tonight. Is that okay?
We
got a couple of hours. Let me give you let me give out the telephone number so that you can talk to Dr. Vivian Gladden. She's the co-author of Ears of the Gods. And that one should stick right up there by your Bible. You can just compare them back and forth.
A space age interpretation of the Bible.
Space age interpretation.
And my friends, Sister Joan Derry and Sister Denise. And I'd like to get very much into the cause and purpose and the wonderful...
We'll get into all of that because they are.
Well, I'm excited to get into that.
Let me give you the numbers. 52. In Los Angeles, your number is 520-TALK. All of the numbers in TALK, TALK. In the San Fernando Valley, you're 990.
Sure.
Me. but we're here.
Look at the wonderful work you're doing.
Dr.
Airing all these. Really, really, Bill. It's fine, fine work that you've been doing all these years. I sincerely mean that. All the millions of friends that you've made and the wonderful work that you've done to help get this kind of information out and to keep it out.
Just something to put on the table.
Wonderful for all of us, really.
Well, you're, you know, work like what you and Lee do make it so much easier for me because it is so profound. And you may not believe it, but they cannot take any pot shots at you. They can't take any pot shots at your academia. They cannot take any pot shots at your research. If they want to believe it or not is something that we are here for, and there's something new on the table for you. Let's see what Susan has. Or Sue, how are you? Are you there? Yeah, Sue, are you on? I'm punching number 7. Sue? Are you there, Sue?
Yes.
Oh.
Yes, I had a question for the doctor.
Yes.
I was a member of the church, the Mormon church, for about a year and a half.
Mm-hmm.
And I never visited the temple or anything. But I was wondering, a lot of the things that they teach seem kind of similar to what you were just saying this evening. Like, they talk about different celestial beings and celestial, terrestrial kinds of things. And one thing is that near, I believe, the millennium, the world will be crystallized. And someone mentioned to me that when a major atomic kind of blast, nuclear kind of war could produce this kind of crystallization?
Yes. If you were to read Peter, mm-hmm. it gives an excellent account there of what will happen. And the Mormons have got some information that is quite similar. And they happen to be, many of them happen to be quite, they embrace our work quite beautifully.
Oh, that's very, very true. Some of my dearest friends and associates are Mormons. I am not a Mormon. But they are. They feel very, very comfortable
with heirs of the gods.
Yes. It has a very, very familiar ring to them as they read the writings of Joseph Smith and Moroni and the rest of it, although they're not on the same track you are, but there is a... they can identify with it.
Well, this information is there. It's been there.
Uh-huh.
And it will continue to be there, and we learn more moment by moment. And as we go further into the evening, the... Sister Denise and Sister Joan will probably discuss just what this information
We'll look closely at it, Sue.
Right. I really want to add that I think that idea...
We just ran out of time, Sue.
The peace idea is great.
All right. Thank you very much.
You.
Stay with us. We'll do it for the next 2 hours, and very perceptive of you. Glad to have you aboard. Vivian, your magnificent work, The Heirs of the Gods, we wanted to talk about that a little bit, and then certainly we want to talk about one of the things that, I guess, had its beginnings back there, we can say that, and that is the Million Minutes of Peace, an international appeal, the power of thought, and we have talked a great deal about the power of thought on this show, and it is more powerful than the hydrogen explosion. We have Earl on the line. Earl, welcome aboard. I'm having trouble with these buttons again. Hello, Earl. All right, I'm hitting... Earl, are you there? I'm hitting one.
I'm getting all this
stuff. Earl, you just hang in there, Will.
Just relax.
Earl, keep talking till we get you there. Everything is working here. Hello there, Gail. Can you turn up our pot here? Earl, are you there? Yeah, we'll get to Earl. Earl, don't go away. We've just got a pot that's down. We'll get the pot up here in a minute and talk about... But this is very interesting what we heard from Sue just a minute ago, the affinity that the Mormons seem to have with the work and Heirs of the Gods.
We've had a nice exchange with them whenever we've lectured.
Earl, are you there?
I'm here.
Oh, right. We found you, Earl. Thank you very much.
I'll tell you why it's happening, Bill. You know, Mercury is retrograde.
It is in retrograde. And so is Mars. And both of them are really doing us in.
Oh, I didn't know about Mars. Okay.
But Mercury will be out in a couple of days.
Okay.
I'm ready.
This is the first time I've ever been able to get through, and I don't know how I did it, but you know Mercury does strange things.
Mm-hmm.
I have a quick comment and a question, Bill. My first comment is that... It sounds like you are onto something there in South America, and of course I'm looking forward to it with, as we used to say, bated breath in the old days.
Well, I'm looking forward to seeing the rushes, which I probably will see Tuesday or Wednesday.
Okay.
The first rushes, and I can't wait.
Yeah, it should be fascinating. The government, of course, I guess will deny that it exists.
No, actually, the government of Brazil, in one instance, is working very closely with the group.
I see.
The government of Brazil came under a great deal of criticism recently in São Paulo for scrambling their air force after these ping pong balls, which, of course, if you've listened to the Pentagon, you know, or to Caltech, that those were just little pieces of swamp gas.
Mm-hmm.
But these little ping pong ball swamp gas pieces did cause a legitimate air force to be scrambled, did cause aircraft to lose their electricity, their electrical circuits, almost created some disasters, and was witnessed by 150,000 people.
I have a question, Bill.
So the mission brains at the Pentagon and Caltech can, you know,
why wasn't this, and this is a dumb question, of course, why hasn't this been reported in the, quote, press or any, I haven't heard anything, this is the first thing I've heard this evening.
Well, it was reported in the press,
or
and
what?
In fact, it was reported here on KABC, in one instance, tongue-in-cheek, and with some degree of seriousness from the network.
Mm-hmm.
It was also reported in the Los Angeles Times, the Daily News, and the Register, Associated Press, and UPI. And that happened on the very same day that the incident up at Petaluma happened, which got more attention simply because it was closer to home.
Okay.
However, the one in São Paulo involved hundreds of thousands of people.
When was that, Bill? Do you know the date?
It had to be about, 2 months ago or 6 weeks ago, something like that. Another sighting up in Petaluma.
Okay. Well, you'll talk more about that. The other quick comment, and I'll let you go. There's other callers, I'm sure.
A few.
Yes. I have never heard the lady discuss her book or her ideas, so I'm sure that you'll get into that later on. And I'll be listening with both ears and be looking forward to whenever it comes out on TV. It should be fascinating.
We hope it is.
Keep up the good work, Bill. It's a pleasure talking.
Earl, thank you for your call. I appreciate that very much.
All right. Thank you.
All right. And, Ben, you're on the line.
Hello, Bill. Congratulations on the film.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, listen, have you tried to use that same energy of all your viewers to maybe contact the people that are on that film for channeling some conversation back to you? Just a thought I had while I was sitting here.
Not really.
Might be an interesting experiment if those people get that energy up, you know, wherever they are and go, gosh, just call Bill and talk to him.
That doesn't seem to happen very much. They do use physics. In fact, we have some of the recorded conversations that they have given us. In fact, we played them on the air one night. This was the group from Coldus. They gave that, and maybe I'll play that again for you.
Massive thrust of energy, you know, of thought toward these beings. They may respond to that, you know, maybe just something no one's tried yet.
It's a very difficult thing when you're dealing with these people, and there are so many different ones of them. Now,
in
Vivian's work, she was talking about a particular group of people who came here from Arcturus.
Mm-hmm.
We know that there are many.
Oh, God, yes.
And some of them are from what one of the most interesting groups is the group from Uma, which they call themselves an alternate universe to us, but they can make that transition. But they are very real, and they are very, very much here.
I'd like to ask Vivian about something that happened to me during some regressions that I had when I was having people work on me doing past life stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it came up that as an animal and a couple of times as a human around the world, I was tagged by the saucers. And when the lady put me into the future and another person put me into the future, at both times it came across that I was tagged and I was going to be picked up and taken back to the Pleiades, which happens to be a prominent factor.
Pleiades?
It's a very interesting place. That group has been very active here for 40,000 years.
When did you have this experience?
Oh, about 6 months ago.
Continue.
Well, during the regression, it became very clear as I went toward the future. She was asking me to, you know, get the imagery so we could determine where I was. And I was off the Northern California. And all of a sudden, I was on a spaceship on the way to the Pleiades. And it seemed so complete, you know. And someone else had done a progression on me, a whole different type of person. And the same thing came up, and that I'd been tagged along. Tagged and metered. Tagged and metered was the phrase while I was in deep trance. And it's kind of fascinating. I was wondering whether that had come up for you, at all.
Earl, before you... Earl, right? Well, no, you're Ben.
Call me Ben.
Ben, call you Ben. Ben, before this happened, did you know anything about the relationship between Earth people and the people of Pleiades?
Yes, I did know something about it. That's, I did, yes. Mm-hmm.
I ask that because sometimes our imaginations can run wild.
Exactly, but the lady that does these regressions is really no amateur at all, and there's a whole specific section that we work on so you can distinguish imagination from memory. And these were memories.
Well, this is interesting. Our work centered... in terms of the Maseroth, Arcturus, the Pleiades, and Orion. Thank you for sharing that with us.
Sure. Hey, God bless you both.
The Pleiades has always played a very important role in the affairs of our history, of the Western world as we understand it. That goes all the way back into antiquity. And Orion.
The Pleiades in India are described as the seven rishis, which are the seven wisest people that there ever were.
Mm-hmm.
And they are kind of projected out into the sky as those particular stars. But they refer originally to actual human intellects who knew many, many things.
Well, the pyramids themselves and Machu Picchu and some of the ancient ruins are standing tributes to Pleiades.
Absolutely.
The way they are constructed and the way they are designed. And there is a magnificent story that comes from the lore of Peru. And I'll just share this with you, family. It goes back into their oral history. That the people who lived in the upper reaches of the Andes in what is now Peru were being attacked by the people from the lowlands. And the men of fire who came down from Pleiades told them to plant this plant below. And they did. And, of course, the advancing armies then harvested the plant and cooked the plant, the leaves of the plant, and they all died.
Okay.
And they then were told by the men of fire from Pleiades to take the root of the plant and feed it to their families, which they did do, and it was very beneficial to them. Many centuries later, the Spaniards came over and took the root of that plant with them back to Europe. And because they started growing that plant in Europe, they were able to increase the acre fold of their agricultural productivity by 100%. A hundredfold, actually, because that plant was the potato.
Yeah, see? Basically.
Yes. Potato. Yes, Sister Denise had just said probably the potato.
Probably the potato.
It was the potato. And it had it not been for the potato, we probably would not have had the Industrial Age. And it was indigenous to Peru, and the Peruvian lore says that it came from Pleiades. I just thought I would share.
That's wonderful story. Yes.
All right, Shell, you're on.
Hello, and it's good to be with you. We called twice and got disconnected once by our own error, and apparently it has meant that we get through to you tonight.
Well, you're with us now. Good evening.
The other errors have been my fingers. So, you know.
No, this was my doing. At any rate, we're certainly very interested in both of the side subjects today of the Million Minutes of Peace, and we will be very interested in, we certainly hope that the material you have on videotape will be publicized well enough that it will be accessible.
I assure you, you will get to see it.
Because, Bill, you live in a world of tape recorders and VCRs, and these things have a way of getting around once they're on the air once.
That's where it's targeted, is for your VCR.
Okay.
We're not going to even try to go through the bureaucracy of a network.
Okay.
To put this out, because, you know, it just will not be as important as to what Lee Iacocca is doing. So, yeah.
So we certainly hope that this is well publicized.
We'll do our best.
We'll keep our eyes open in the Bodhi tree in those places. We're also looking for heirs of the gods, and perhaps someone can give us some clues a little later where that's available.
How about right now?
Well, you just said the Bodhi tree. Why don't you go over there, and I think you will find some copies there.
Fine. Alexandria, too, has it, too.
Yes, and then for those friends that are in Long Beach, the Pegasus.
Mm-hmm.
And,
that's a great new story down there, right?
Isn't it? Yes.
Yes.
Very nice. And then Organicville.
Organic.
Has the third Organicville. It's a health food. They're in many, many of the metaphysical stores. Those that are left, and they'd best hurry down.
It is must reading.
I would like to leave with you with a little experience of mine, and perhaps leave an avenue open for some commentary, and then I'll clear the air.
And,
okay. Many of us, you know, easily remember, and a lot of us can easily recall, and I don't want to get into a situation of needing to verify memories or experiences or regressions, but it seems to me that there are an awful lot of us around here now who recall what we've been through before so many times. Myself, I know I can recall a couple of instances, one spontaneously and one with some help. And I wonder if the state of the world and people with these memories today are an indication of a natural progression back to a situation of remembering and of undoing what looks like the terrible mess we've created, which may not really be such a terrible mess. It may be part of the plan.
It's a part of the evolutionary process.
Plan. A bit of a mess right now, but it is part of the plan, and it's going to be cleaned up momentarily, and that's...
There's only one way to learn determination and will, and that is to get into a mess and be determined to undo it.
And on that note, I'll get off here and say only that I hope I do hear a little bit more this evening about the Million Minutes of Peace.
In the 11 o'clock hour, I do want Sister Denise and Joan Derry to get into that very, very deeply so that you can share with it. But I wanted to build this up to you, and and let you know that this is not just a fanciful idea that happened from a lot of people who had a lot of ideas that said, oh, let's have good thoughts about world peace.
No, this has been going on for thousands of years, and I think a lot of us know that.
Yes.
This knowledge, and I'll get off the air, let someone else have a chance, and keep my ears open. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Thank you for your call.
Thank you
good
very
night.
Much for your comments, Shel. Appreciate those. All right, Janet, you're on.
Yes, hi. I'd like to ask, I changed my question a little bit so it would be a little more appropriate for the show, but what I was wondering, first of all, was that you mentioned something about a great gathering up.
Yes.
Yeah, what did you mean by that? You never finished what you were saying.
Oh, well, it had a period at the end of it. a great gathering up and gathering in terms of the escalation of what's about to happen on the planet.
Oh, I thought you meant maybe people being taken off the planet. You know.
That too. Yes. Yeah. Yes. We'll get very much into that.
Well, the Bible does speak of that. Well, you know, I'm
yes,
a Christian in the Bible. There are some Christians that believe there will be what they call
harpozo. The Greek word there is in the Greek word for that is harpozo. They will be
right.
Caught up.
Right.
Some of the Christians call that the rapture, and then the second coming.
Right. Certain Christians that believe that. Yeah.
Yes. What we're talking about here is we're talking about the same thing, but it's just a matter of semantics.
Yeah.
If you were to read the literature that comes from the contactees of Pleiades, they call it the harvest.
Yes, yes.
Right.
Yes.
And that's imminent unless we change our ways.
Right.
And they are pragmatic
imminent.
About it and they don't think
well,
we're going to.
I agree
to.
With you on all of this. The only question I have is that how can you interweave all of this extraterrestrial and weird stuff in with the beautiful teaching of the pure biblical teaching? I mean, why do we have to mix it up with all of this? With this other stuff, can't we just accept what the Bible says?
Well, that's what we're talking about doing, Janet.
Right.
First of all, you remember the Bible seems to be written
up. It also warns us that there are false... I mean, if you can accept the parts that you're talking about now, it warns of false teachers and false... Jesus told us that there would be false Christ that would have great signs and wonders, and they would be able to deceive even the elect if it were possible.
Oh, yes. I'm very familiar with that. Jesus also makes a statement saying that I am not from this world. I am from above. You are from beneath. And when we say extraterrestrial, we can refer to Paul. There are terrestrial and celestial. And I think what you're concerned about here, if I just simply said, well, God and the angels, they're in heaven. If I use the word heaven, then that makes you more comfortable, you see. Yes, it's a matter of semantics. And if you will read, what was your name again?
Janet.
Janet, if you will read Psalms 103, 104, because we're told to search the scriptures for in them.
Right.
Yes, you will have eternal life. And if you will read Psalms 103, 104, I think that you will see there when it speaks of the heavenly hosts, I think that, and if you were to look up the etymology in concordance, you would find that it's talking about beings. Where do you think God and the angels are? Do you think they're where you call heaven, don't you?
I believe it's a place called heaven. I don't really have an image of it.
But that's off this planet to you, isn't it?
Pardon?
Is that off this planet? Is that off?
Yes,
well, that would be extraterrestrial,
right.
Wouldn't it?
Yes.
Thank you so much for your call.
All right.
Yeah, there's one little thought that I would like to add in that, because sometimes if you say a terrestrial, you can also say a worldly person. And if you say an angel, you can be speaking about a person who is deeply pure.
Yes.
And there are people on this planet who are very worldly, and there are also people on this planet who are very different from worldliness. And if you start looking at those kinds of ideas, then you can see that we're not necessarily talking about something weird. We're talking about different predispositions in existing people in the world today. And we can decide whether we are going to be a worldly person or whether we're going to do something of a different order.
To take on the nature, character, and personality of the celestials.
Exactly, yes.
Janet had an interesting question that she originally was going to ask, and that was about the tree of knowledge and the temptation of Satan and how you unfolded that in the heirs of the gods was an enormously dramatic moment. Do you want to just encapsulate that for us?
Janice, where do you live? Do you live in the Los Angeles area?
I think she's already gone off.
Oh, she's gone, huh? Yeah. She's probably... rephrase that again, because it's such a vast... I want to encapsulate...
The tree of knowledge of good and evil.
Yes.
And the temptation that, I guess, was given to Eve.
Well, here we have, again, a wonderful story. And there's a lot of myths.
It'll be a great part of it.